Holman, there are two things that I care about getting to on this episode of the Truck Show Podcast. First,
the Nissan hard body in my driveway.
Okay, that is first.
Okay.
The second is a 700 horsepower super truck that's not one that I own.
Oh, interesting. Huh. What could that be about?
It might be a Fox Factory Super Chevy.
Well, considering you're one of those guys that is a quote-unquote Chevy guy traditionally.
I'm kind of excited about this.
Are you having buyer's remorse on the TRX?
No. No, I'm not. I'm going to buy this as well.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to keep the hard body that's in my driveway and hide it from Nissan.
Because they're going to want it back soon?
Well, I only technically have it for a week, but if I go to Mexico, I could have it forever.
I wonder if you drove this down this... Wait. It just occurred to me you said you're going to take it to Mexico.
I mean, if I were to disappear, why wouldn't you disappear with a truck?
Right. Oh, yeah, good point.
I mean, get something reliable that has a dealer network that's easy to repair, durable, something that you wouldn't have to worry about, like, you know, turbo going bad or some hybrid battery pack going. I mean, I really think the Nissan Frontier hardbody is the right truck to disappear into your new life somewhere.
What are you planning?
Nothing. Would it surprise you they almost bought an EV this week?
No, no.
That's another story.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about
that. No, we shouldn't talk about that because it's not a truck.
It's a refrigerator.
This is going to be like your version of my old Mini Cooper. Like, that's what this discussion
I thought
was
that's what
be.
The CRV was.
Yeah, the CRV is worse than my Cooper. Let's not even go down there. So Holman didn't buy it. If he does buy something, he'll let us know. Let's talk about the hard body.
Came real close, though. Real close.
I know you did. Let's not discuss it. You're going to piss off
the deal
listeners.
Was so good that thousands were sold within 3 days.
It is a good deal, but let's not talk about it because you're going to upset truck owners that listen.
I'm just saying that if you have a truck and then you have really short trips around town, you might supplement that truck. That's all I'm saying. Or if you have a really gas-thirsty, awesome vehicle that you don't want to put a lot of miles on, well, then maybe you get something like a hard body that can be your daily.
Let's talk about the hard body for a moment. Because
right, only a moment, here, because I got to drive. I just got it this morning. Like, it's literally brand new.
So you're going to cut the show early?
I drove it into my driveway. That's all the driving I've done today because I was so busy. So I haven't put any miles on it. I'm planning to hit the desert. The one thing I want to say about the hard body, though, is the freaking wheels. Like, you look at that truck, you're like, it's a good-looking truck. And I love the way...
The wheels are time capsules.
They are time capsules. And I just sat there and I went, that's so rad. I'm glad they did that.
Even the decal on the side is just, it's all
It's the
retro.
Like the old, retro kind of a 70s, 80s vibe. Mm-hmm. But what I really like is the black applique across the tailgate kind of makes it on the hard body because it just reminds me of the way the old tailgates looked with like the black with the Nissan showing through.
I like it because it's the new truck. It's the new Frontier, but it's got retro in it. So it's a weird kind of dichotomy, don't you think?
I mean, I had a bunch of people come by my house today because usually the neighbors are out walking and they're like, is that a new truck? And I was like, yeah, it's a new Frontier. And they're like, but
is it new old?
It reminds you of something. Yeah, like an old Nissan hardbody. I'm like, it is a Nissan hardbody, but it's the new
brand
Nissan.
New, yes.
Yeah, so this thing is that really bright red. It's almost looks like my other vehicle. It's called Red Alert.
Red Alert!
And in the sun, man, it's red. And people like slow down. I don't know. It's just a red pickup truck. People love red pickup trucks. But it has those awesome chunky monoblock three-spoke wheels on it. It has rock rails on it, which don't even come on the Pro 4X, which I thought was kind of cool. And it's got the old 80s style bed hoop in the back, the sport bar. It's just got graphics. It's based off of, I believe, an SV. So it doesn't have a rear locker, but it does have four-wheel drive. It's a 4x4 Frontier crew cab.
It's simple yet effective.
Simple, yeah. It's just a truck that makes you smile and looks cool and people like it and they give you thumbs up. And I'm going to go drive it all week long and soak in those thumbs up. So,
Holman, are these available at the dealer?
I know it's late availability, but they should be getting there soon. I want to say that if they're not on the dealership lots right now, they'll be arriving shortly. This is one of the first production ones that made it out here.
And so you've stolen this out of the hands of a prospective buyer?
Yes. No, this is a media flea. They wanted to talk about it. And they said, hey, how'd you like to have a hard body? So you talk about it on the podcast. And I said, sign me up. So if you're looking for a rad retro truck, you're not going to find one on your new car lot unless you head on down to your local Nissan dealer. The Truck Show podcast is proudly presented by Nissan, and they have priced the Frontier King Cab S 4x2 at just $30,030.
No way that's right. That's got to be a typo.
Not only is it not a typo, but it comes standard with a 3.8-liter direct injection, dual overhead cam, 24-valve V6 engine with 310 horsepower.
That's the one that sounds good.
Well, if that's not good enough, I believe you've got some good news for us, huh, Lightning?
I do. In the last show, I joked about the bank's new map sensor spacer for the Duramax L5P being out of stock and on back order. Well, good news. It's back in stock.
All right.
It's back in stock. So if cleaning your map sensor has become a chore every like 3-4 months, if you swoop up a new bank's map sensor spacer, it moves that map sensor out of that dirty EGR soot-filled recirculated airstream and keeps that map sensor clean and trouble-free for thousands of miles. Head over to bankspower.com and check out your map sensor spacer relocation kit for your 2017 to 2024 Duramax L5P.
And I know a lot of you out there are out there racing your diesels around, so let's introduce you to AMSOIL, a pioneer in synthetic lubricants for more than 50 years. And AMSOIL offers the Dominator 20W50 competition diesel oil. So whether you're competing in sled pulls, drag races, or even dyno challenges, Dominator 20W50 competition diesel oil delivers 50% more film thickness to withstand high cylinder pressures and protect against wear. It is heavily fortified with zinc and phosphorus anti-wear additives to provide additional protection against scuffing and wear in severe conditions. AMSOIL's engineered this oil for use in performance-modified diesel engines that require any of the major specifications: API, Cummins, Mack, Volvo, Caterpillar, Renault, Chrysler, Ford. You can check them out at AMSOIL.com.
Who's rocking a Renault? Seriously,
listen, but they meet the standard, right? Yeah. Like that's what's awesome about
this. I'm going to go to UCC, the Ultimate Car Challenge with a Renault.
Speaking of that, AMSOIL is also the official oil and title sponsor of the Ultimate Call Out Challenge and the official oil of the National Association of Diesel Motorsports. When it comes to lubrication, AMSOIL is the leader in synthetics. Find out more at AMSOIL.com.
The Truck Show. We're going to show you what we know. Truck, cause truck rides with the Truck Show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline. The Truck Show, the Truck Show, the Truck Show. Oh, oh.
It's the Truck Show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
I'm very excited about this next guest.
Why? Because somebody finally plucked a Chevy out of obscurity and added some real horsepower to truck, huh? Huh?
You're distorting the microphones.
I know. Well, I mean, you weren't by screaming.
When I scream, I get
like
way back off the mic.
Small
like this.
Child over there in the corner of the studio. You're like,
I lean back and I scream way
listen,
back here.
You have been all about, oh, blah, blah, the diesels from GM, so much power, awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, Chevy 1500, and you're like, I have to buy a Ram because Chevy doesn't have anything cool that makes a lot of horsepower.
Well, Chevy still doesn't.
I know, but
Fox Factory does.
Fox Factory does.
They bolted on a Whipple supercharger. Now,
well, that's not all they bolted on.
700 horsepower out
and,
of it.
And over a foot of travel front and rear.
All right, can we call Chris Rose?
We should probably do that if we want to know more about the new Fox Factory truck.
Okay, let me dial. He's in the 206 area code. Here we go.
Let's see. Hello.
Is this Mr. Chris Rose? It's Lightning and Holman, Truck Show Podcast.
Hey, yes, it is. Good to be talking with you guys.
Fantastic. You have been a busy, busy man from what we can tell.
Me and many others within Fox Factory, but thank you.
We have got a lot of questions for you, but first, you get an intro. Now, this one, I think, is kind of cool because we haven't played this for a very long time. We're taking a deep dive at Fox Factory.
Prepare to dive.
Prepare to dive.
Hi, Captain. Captain, we're too deep.
There's no such thing as too deep. Okay, that was too deep.
You know, this, that sound was actually a recording of a factory Chevy Trail boss being hucked off a 3-foot berm
oh,
and
really?
Landing with
is that what it was?
Factory suspension.
Our
yeah.
microphones were there?
Yeah, they were there and captured that.
So Chris
probably definitely needed some Fox shocks.
Exactly. Right. Chris is the advanced development manager of the performance vehicle division at Fox Factory. That is a mouthful. Before we jump into this huggable truck that you and the team have built at Fox Factory, Chris, what's your background? How did you get where you are now?
It's a pretty diverse experience. I've worked in pretty much every industry in the area I'm in. I've worked in automotive, aftermarket, automotive, marine, medical, and actually just kind of stumbled upon this job. They found me and picked me out. And to be quite honest, I had no idea that the upfitter industry existed. I was kind of naive like everybody else and thought that Ford, GM, Ram, Dodge built these vehicles that were specialized.
So let's go over the truck. So we're starting with a Chevy Silverado 1500, and it's got the 6.2 liter. So I'm assuming you're starting with a ZR2, or are you starting with something different?
We're actually starting with an RST crew cab short bed.
Okay, RST.
And the reason we do that is because in the upfitting, we try to find the right balance of, you know, what we're going to discard and what we're going to use on the vehicle.
Got it.
So if you had the ZR2, you'd be taking off, you know, to put our Fox shocks on, you'd be taking off a lot of high dollar content that GM has put on there.
Absolutely. All right. So you guys have a Whipple Gen 5 supercharger, so good for 700 horsepower, 640 pound-feet of torque. You're using Fox 3.2 live valve shocks, 14.5 inches of front travel, 15.5 inches of rear travel. 7.5 inches wider overall, 37-inch tires on 17-inch method forged alloys with the bead grip technology. And you guys are backing the whole truck with the 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, so you're not losing anything from if you would have bought this directly off the showroom floor.
Yeah, that's correct.
How was this idea birthed? Where did it come from? Is it a reaction to the other two manufacturers with their super trucks?
Yeah, is that why Chevy was the platform of choice for you guys?
Oh, I think we obviously saw a lot of opportunity there. You know, the consumers have, you know, in our opinion, longed for a contender in this market space from GM, you know, platforms. So with the Fox side, you know, we're really relevant, you know, already on the Ford side. You know, seeing this big opportunity on the GM side, you know, going after their, you know, really nice truck, you know, robust platform, you know, great powertrain, you know, with the LTE, DI, just really, really good starting point to, you know, really implement all this really cool feature set that we put on this vehicle.
No, but I guess what I'm asking, Chris, is that did you guys reach out to GM and say, there's a hole in the marketplace for all of the GM fans that want to go up against the TRX and the Raptor, and we want to be the guys to build it? Or did GM come to you and say, here's a blank slate with an RST, go for it?
Well, it'd actually be neither of those. You know, we would love to collaborate with GM, you know, on projects like this. But, you know, being an upfitter, we have bailments with, you know, the big three. And within that system, there's agreements as far as, you know, responsibility for warranty and whatnot. So we have a little more liberty than most would have to, you know, have a freedom of design. So this is really just developed and, you know, launched within Fox Factory itself. You know, we're definitely interested in what GM's thoughts on it, and we're looking forward to, you know, getting that feedback.
Okay, interesting. So I now understand. I have a more clear picture of this. This is Fox birthed it and said, we're buying the truck. So you're buying these trucks potentially straight from GM or just a lot, and then you're doing all the upfitting and then selling them as a third party, and you're warranting them. And so it's not really a collaboration with GM, although somehow you got into the ECM, and the only way to do that on the 2024 Chevy is with GM's approval. They gave you the keys to get or they gave Whipple the keys to get into the ECM.
Or HP Tuners, which is the only...
Or HP Tuners. Yeah. It's Whipple, so I think... I don't know. Chris, what's the story? Yeah, how did you get 700 horsepower out of this with a lockdown ECM?
Magic. we work really closely with Whipple. We have a great relationship there. So we lean heavily on them to develop the performance package and do all the calibration, you know, on the modules on the truck. There are ways to do it in there. It's all done through third party. Just kind of nature of how you have to do it. And by us having, you know, the bailment and, you know, the responsibility for the warranty, if there are any issues with the truck as far as modules or software or calibration, that's our responsibility. And that's really no different than the rest of our business that we do daily.
So we know that the current gen trucks have no way of having the speedo calibrated for anything larger than a 33 or a 35, depending on which truck it is. How are you guys able to get in there and let the truck know it's on 37s? Was that a gear ratio swap that did that, or were you guys able to figure out a way to calibrate that so all the gauges and everything are accurate?
Well, you know, it has larger tires and it also has a gear ratio upgrade. The truck starts with a 323 as we receive it, so we are upgrading the front gear set and the AAM differential to a 373, and then installing a full width Dana aftermarket axle. We're not using wheel spacers, 35 spline chromoly, and that's 373 with an air locker. And all those compensations for the tire size and gear ratio are done in the calibration through Whipple.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, you guys aren't the only ones who have figured out that the Silverado could be a potentially great platform, especially in the aftermarket for upfitting, because obviously there's Ford and Ram had the TRX and soon to have the RHO. A company called Black Lake has their XT1, which is similar in some ways. And those are a bunch of old GM engineers.
Although I thought that didn't they have a failure to launch? Is that what we decided on the last episode or no? No,
their website says new vehicles coming in spring of 2024. So it'll be interesting. I know there's a lot of hype about that, but they were an upstart, whereas you guys are obviously backed by a pretty big company. Was there any of that consideration when taking on this project, whom else you might be competing with in the upfit space?
Oh, we definitely surveyed the landscape of, other contenders in the market space. And I've actually seen an XT1. I was at the SEMA Garage open house up in Detroit, and they had one there on display. You know, it's a really nice truck. They've got great fitness on that thing.
When you saw it, did you walk up and make evil laughing noises and then walk away and nobody knew why?
He did that. Yeah,
exactly.
Just taking it all in and seeing how people do things. We have a lot of respect for our competition. I'm a firm believer competition breeds innovation. So, definitely don't want to snub anybody. Full respect. And I think we're differentiated enough with the stylistic aspects of our vehicle and some of the other characteristics in regards to suspension and that associated feature set that, we're not taking anything away from anybody. We're writing this on our own.
Additive, if as you were. What's interesting is you kind of imagine and you see all the fiberglass companies and all the guys pre-running, and they do the wider suspension kits, and they have the typical fiberglass flared fenders. You guys have taken a really unique approach to the styling, where it's incredibly integrated and all the bodywork looks to be OE. I mean, I was probably one of the things that was the most impressive is how cohesive the front end looks, even with the aftermarket lighting, but the way that you popped out the fenders, but still kind of kept the air curtain style vent sort of, as a feature or a look in there, and the way the trapezoidal wheel flares are front to rear. I was just really impressed with how all that flowed together, especially with the hood. It looks like really tight body seams. Are you guys using SMC, fiberglass? Because these parts look really amazing.
Balsa wood. He's using balsa wood.
Right? It's a really good looking wood. Really light. To get right down to the details, every body part that we replaced, being the hood, the lower valance, the front fenders, the bedsides, even the fuel door are all carbon fiber.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And there's several reasons
cheap.
For that.
That is not cheap.
And is that something that you guys are doing in-house? I mean, Fox Factor, you have a lot of different expertise under that roof or under the many roofs that you own.
We are using a company up in the Detroit area that specializes in composites, and they have been an incredible partner on this project and others.
So I say I'd love to dive into the suspension a little bit. Obviously, this is a Fox product, so the suspension is really what sets it apart. We can get into powertrain, drivetrain, and some of the changes, but the suspension looks freaking awesome. It looks like you guys have a slapper for the air bump, which is something that you don't see in a lot of aftermarket kits. That's kind of only really come out in the aftermarket on bolt-on stuff for probably the last, I don't know,
it's only like
4 or 5 years at the most, something like that.
So wait, you've got to explain that because the guys are like, what is a slapper?
So if you have a traditional, you know, hydraulic bump, and usually the can has a bracket that's welded to the frame, and that bump where it meets, usually it's a rubber or a Delrin pad or something like that, will hit the control arm and act as a bump stop, and it adds additional compression capacity to soak up any loads that are going into the chassis. With a slapper, it's sort of interesting because the bump is mounted on the top, but then there's also a mount toward the bottom near the striking portion. But instead of it being free for it to just hit the control arm, there's a second arm that goes and pivots on the control arm. So it's almost like a scissor, or if you imagine like an L shape.
It's kind of cantilevered.
Yeah, it's hard to explain until you see one, but I would imagine it's there to help control the loads going in and keep the suspension in really extreme stuff square with the striking pads and all that.
If only we had someone who might know the answer to that.
Anybody who can explain that to us.
There's a lot of reasons to use that style. It keeps your force, you know, direction nice and controlled on that bump stop. I guess when you asked me about background before, I've got a few buddies that race Ultra 4. So, you know, I've done some four link designs and air bumps, and you always want to try to keep that air bump from not having a lot of scrub on it, because when you start to put a lot of like side scrub force on those air bumps, you start to put a lot of load on the seals internally. So, you know, having that thing hit always nice and controlled and square, not having a lot of like side linear scrub, you get a lot smoother, you know, a force absorption and release, and just less likelihood for mechanical, you know, fatigue internally.
Now, that's on A-arm suspension. You guys partnered with basically Baja Kits, so the Brenthel brothers, who are huge in desert racing, and Baja Kits is one of the best aftermarket companies out there.
Holman Brenthel's known for chassis, or they do the whole thing?
They do full race trucks, and then they have a whole fleet of trophy trucks, and they've got driver programs, and it's really incredible system when you look at it, what they offer to people to get the full experience.
And now you guys have live valve. I see two solenoids, so I'm assuming that's live valve on the compression and the rebound side?
Absolutely.
So you 3.2 factory race series live valve shocks, and then the 2.0 IFP bump stops. But what's really interesting is out back, you guys basically trashed the entire factory leaf sprung suspension. And you worked with Dana to put a 60 in the back. And as you said earlier, no wheel spacers. It's made specifically for the width of this truck. And you've got a new long travel multi-link suspension with billet aluminum trailing arms. Also have Fox 3.2 race series live valve coilovers and 2.0 IFP bump stops. And that's the rear. And so that gives you 14.5 inches of front travel, 15.5 inches of usable rear travel. My guess is you have more than that, but usable is probably without getting into anything it's not supposed to or stressing the drivetrain.
Oh, that is the actual travel of the truck. We've done, thorough physical analysis on, the other contenders in the space and seen that the true travel numbers aren't necessarily what's, communicated in literature. So those numbers are what you'll physically get out of this truck.
Do you have a mechanical engineering background, Chris?
Yes, I do.
That's kind of what I figured. So you just touched on a few things that you did. I want to rewind because you sound like an engineer, and you just mentioned that you've got friends that race Ultra 4.
I feel like you just offended him.
No, he
sounds like a cool guy who loves off-roading the desert, who just happens to have an engineering degree.
That too.
You're right.
That's exactly what I meant to say.
Okay.
I figured
that's what you're trying to say.
And ironically, I live in the flat Midwest, so all my friends around here are they're quite impressed by the experiences that I get to take part in with my employment. So
well, I just want to make sure I felt like the way Lightning was describing you was sitting in your Fox Silverado with a your helmet and also a short sleeve collared button up shirt with pencil protector full of pens and stuff in your front pocket.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's not what I was getting.
It makes him look, it makes him sound smarter to our listeners. They picture him that way.
Yeah.
No. The difference is he's got a, Dixon flannel with some pencils in it.
Oh,
you know
got
what I'm
it,
saying?
Got it. Yeah.
That's what he's got going on. No, the reason I asked, Chris, is you just kind of flippantly mentioned, oh, you know, I designed some four-link suspension systems for my buddies out of, you know, at King of the Hammers. What's that about? Where
it's racing?
No, not what.
But that's not
that
what's
about?
Important here. We're talking about the Foxtrot.
I'm curious. I want to know more about Chris for a second. Like, how are you just designing suspension systems in your spare time?
So I didn't design the suspension on this truck. Obviously, I had some influence in it with our team at Baja Kits and everything of what we needed on the truck. But personally, no, I'm a engineer fabricator. I worked in a fabrication shop during junior college. That's where I kind of got hooked on it. So I've got my own shop at home. I design in SolidWorks, have a full chassis table, in-house CNC plasma tube bender tube roller, and just love taking nothing and making
basically
something.
Your typical garage.
Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, nothing like our garages. So, yeah, I got TIG and MIG and plasma.
Lightning has a Harbor Freight General toolbox that barely fits in his
How
garage.
How dare you? It's from Home Depot.
That's about it.
Yeah.
No shame on Harbor Freight. They've been stepping up their game lately.
No, the Icon stuff is good. We've talked about it a lot. Yeah. Yes.
I want to go back to the suspension because one of the things that you guys have added is a controller to the left of the steering wheel, and it's super rad. It looks like it's got an anodized knob, but basically what it allows you to do is it allows you to go between on-road, trail, desert, and custom settings and really dial in the suspension. Bring up a TRX or a Raptor, for example, that have, you know, Baja mode and different modes. You guys are able to put those types of terrain modes into it. Now, one of the things that I was reading is how these modules are all, there's a chassis control module, they're all talking to each other. The Fox suspension is listening to what the chassis is doing and is adjusting the shocks on the fly. They're semi-active. But what's so fascinating to me is GM is, as we discussed earlier, is really hard when it comes to integrating modules with the truck. How did you guys get the semi-active suspension to work right and not have necessarily, you know, be fully tied into the truck? Is it reading anything from the truck's CAN bus system at all? Or did you have to design it in a way where it is semi-autonomous on its own?
A little bit of all of that. We have an incredible team at Fox that has come up with this full standalone live valve control system. This truck has position sensors on all four corners. It's got the three axis accelerometers. It knows what this chassis is doing, what that suspension is doing. It's extremely intellectual, very situationally controlled, you know, with the on-road trail desert, you know. So you can really pick what you want and then fine tune it with a knob on the right for comfort, balance, and sport. And really what those are all doing is it's adjusting how it reacts based on the position of the suspension. We are listening to the CAN of the vehicle. So we know, you know, what speed you're going, your throttle control, your brake control, your steering control. So it's very adaptive as far as what you're doing and reactive to what it needs to do based on what setting you have it in. So with the dual live valve, it's incredible. You really feel the difference in this thing. I've driven it a fair amount. Very enjoyable experience.
And I love that you guys have the big reservoirs with that are finned. That seems to have become sort of the Fox Factory signature in the past several years of those being the high-end shocks. And they freaking look awesome. And the way that you have, you know, the suspension, the shocks, obviously you have to have them mounted in a certain way for them to work and for the motion ratios to be right and all that kind of stuff. We get that. And you had a little bit of leeway because you designed the rear suspension so you can make the coilovers kind of do what they want to do. But the fact that they're peeking out of every corner of that truck, I mean, there's not a view of that truck where you don't see at least some piece of the suspension sort of winking back at you at what it is pretty cool.
It's somewhat intentional, huh?
Almost like a suspension company wanted to highlight their product on a truck sitting on the ground, sure.
Yeah. This truck has nothing but the best of the best on it. It's all the factory race, you know, like you said, the finned reservoirs. you know, the dual hose compression rebound system on the live valve. We just wanted to give the consumer, you know, the top shelf on this thing. And I feel we really did that. And, you know, we're talking about the feature set, and you're talking about, you know, the body panels. You know, as corny as this sounds, one of the most popular things that people love about it is the custom wheel liners that we did to really give this truck that rounded off feel of an OE level, you know, specialty vehicle. We didn't want a big mud gaps for things to collect or get caught in or things to damage, you know, wire harness and things of that sort. So we have an incredible design team that has, you know, really been so thorough on this soup to nuts.
Now, we talked about having the Dana 60 in the back. Obviously, AAM is a big supplier to General Motors. You retain the AAM front differential, but go to a 373 gear to match the back and RCV chromoly high travel CV axle shafts, which is all great stuff. If I'm not mistaken, some versions of the Silverado, and I don't know if the RST is one of them, have an aluminum housing on that front differential. Is this one aluminum or cast iron? And is it something that you upgraded, or did you find that the factory housing was good and strong enough to put up with all the power and the travel coming out of it?
That's a great question. So these trucks can either come with an AAM SU4 front diff or a GM version SU5 front diff. They're both aluminum. But the problem with GM SU5 is you can't regear it to a 373. So the SU4 you can. And we have two test trucks that we've been pounding into the ground for, you know, the last 2 years, and we have not had any front diff failures.
That's pretty amazing.
Something that we really worried about. That we thought about, like, maybe, you know, is there any chance we might have to put a cooler on this thing? You know,
I worried about it.
Temps on it, getting warm. Yeah,
I saw your pictures fully drooped out. Airing it out, and I was like, oh man, I know what front diff is in there. I wonder how
many did they blow out when they
landed? Yeah, it just, you know, but I mean, that goes to show how good the geometry is of the front suspension, because you're staying within, you know, the limits of an aluminum housing front diff. And they're great for lightweight, and they're great for cooling. They're not always great for strength. And I may have cracked a few in my day, which is why I might be sensitive to that.
Yeah, if you land on the juice, you never know what's going to happen. But, sure. You know, it can sometimes be up to the driver. No matter what you have there, it might not live. But no, we've really pushed this thing to the limit. On our one truck, we've done what we've deemed to be about 1.5 life cycles, and it's held up incredibly well.
I wanted to ask about the front bumper. Now, I didn't see the rear. I didn't see a photo of the rear handy, but the front is tubular. It's very Baja style. And I'm curious what went into that, because if you just told me about the truck and didn't show me the bumper, I would assume that you'd have one more look like a ADD, like Addictive Desert Designs, which is more plate steel, but
elegant. Are you looking close at that? Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
I'm looking at a tubular top. No, I see all the
sensors are integrated. Yeah.
I see that, and I'm getting there. So it's a beautiful bumper. I am a little surprised that they chose that Baja look, that tubular DOM style, as opposed to something. And I'm just curious what's behind that.
You know, that was a big discussion internally when we were developing, you know, the armor for this. We use, you know, the sheet metal style bumpers on a lot of our other builds, so we're definitely very familiar with those. This being a pre-runner, we wanted to kind of change it up and do a little bit of our own. We didn't want to go full sheet metal. We didn't want to go full tube. We didn't want to just have a tube with a aluminum skid plate underneath it. We wanted to do a little bit of both. And we really want to be really intentional about what we put where, hence those holes so you can see the reservoirs, you can allow air to come through there, cooling. All of our vehicles were extremely good at integrating, you know, park sensors. You know, we've got custom molded rear cross traffic covers, you know, on the rear bumper. There's no interference. Everything works as it should. We do full testing on these systems. So, you know, the whole intent is, so when the consumer goes on the lot and they buy this truck, you know, they get the same quality experience out of our vehicle as they would any other vehicle on that lot.
Yeah, no lights, your forward collision warning works, your adaptive cruise control works, all the things that you would expect from a premium price truck. And when you look at it, it's cool because, you know, your body work for the fenders, it really frames the factory grill, but then you go down to kind of this inset tubular bumper, but it sort of just hints at that pre-runner. It's not overtly that, which is really cool. And then, of course, you can see the cooling stack behind it, like the intercooler for the Whipple. And you guys have added the customary three center-mounted lights for being over 80 inches. So it has that look on there as well, although it's done a little bit differently than some of the competition. And then I want to go back. So 6.2 V8 Whipple supercharger, Gen 5, 700 horse, 640 pound-feet of torque. You guys are using the 10-speed automatic, and then this comes with the AutoTrac 2-speed transfer case. So that means you got auto 4-wheel drive, 2-wheel drive, 4 high, and 4 low, which means that you can use it in 4-wheel drive on the road, in snow, in the sand, and then lock it in 4 high if you need that, and of course, 4 low. I can imagine that you probably have a pretty decent crawl ratio of 373s and that 10-speed, because that 10-speed has a pretty low first gear as well. So not only can it go fast, I'm assuming it doesn't have any problem crawling over obstacles as well.
No, this truck has gone over everything that we wanted to go over it in the field testing. And, you know, even at high speed climbing through the mountains, it has, you know, it's not chasing gears. It's not shifting erratically. You know, you can really haul the mail with it, and you don't realize how fast you're going. So it you know, it goes fast, goes slow, does everything really well.
Does it have a TCM calibration on it, or is that stock?
It's all stock TCM, and that's something that we were concerned about. But because there's some you know, from what we're told, some accessibility issues on some of those, but we haven't seen any things that we dislike in it. We're not seeing any erratic shift or, you know, holding a gear too long or, you know, anything. So we were able to dispel that. And yesterday it was just tuning the engine.
Bottom line is it's holding the 700 horsepower, no problem.
Yep. And that's, you know, we noticed that our transmission temps were getting a little high in the summer heat and aggressive desert testing. So, you know, along with the added supercharger, heat exchanger up front, there's about a 200% size upgraded transmission cooler up front as well.
Ah, there we go.
And speaking of heat, I noticed that out of the six Nacho LED lights, excuse me, eight Nacho LED lights on the front, you're putting 60,000 available lumens out of the front of that thing. I mean, that's a lot. I'm sure you can feel the heat just standing in front of that sucker with the lights on.
Yeah, it really lights it up well. The Nacho guys have been excellent to work with. We did a full lighting array analysis on the front of this thing. If you maybe looked at like Justin Lofton's Instagram when they outfitted his trophy truck, they did the same thing with him. So we asked to have the same opportunity, and we were able to strategically place. There's four combo lights that are spot flowed. You know, each option of those are controlled with a, you know, one of the two switches inside, and then there's two dedicated spotlights, and then there's two SAE fog lights as well. So, and they all have covers. So if you're in a state that you have to cover your
California lighting,
it's really easy to do. And that's what's really cool about the Nachos, is they're super easy to do, and you can either make them amber or you can make them black.
And then you guys also touch the interior as well. There's, I mean, the pattern that you have on is really cool. It's a mixture of like a light gray, a charcoal, a black with red piping. It just looks super nice, especially with the Fox Factory logo in the seat backs. You guys have, of course, the serial data plate on there as well. And so the interior wasn't an afterthought. It definitely got a little nod, so you know while you're driving it or whoever jumps in your truck realizes that it's something special. And then you guys are also offering optional two bed-mounted spares. And I was looking at it, so Lightning, I don't know if you saw what the price point is of this.
I was just scrolling down to the bottom of foxfactorytruck.com and came upon that six-digit number.
It starts with a two.
Yep.
$209,999. And actually what I was curious is, I don't think that that's a horrible price at all considering what you get on the truck. I was actually like, okay, that's, I can see that. What I was really curious about is that says the estimated starting MSRP.
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious, what are the options on this? If somebody gets the base version of it, what's the difference between that and the high-end version, and what's the difference in price on that? Do you know?
And will you be offering this in a Duramax 2500?
That'd be really cool. Yeah, so, I mean, the options are really, you know, you can do a single or dual tire carrier. They both, they can swap right out. The base mount stays affixed to the vehicle. We bolt through the bed because if you know anything about GM beds, they do not top bolt. They bolt through the bottom. You know, if you try to clamp to that corrugation, you're just going to rip the bed apart.
As so we have we seen on confused. The gram from many people who have tried that and have failed at it.
Yep. So there's a lot of thought that went into how we're going to do this and make it look good, make it last. So you can easily swap that out, upgrade it. One thing I wanted to mention really quick and kind of go back is, you know, with our lighting control system, there's three aux mounting locations on this truck for the user to add, you know, additional accessories. There's there's an aux harness that goes to both sides in the rear bed. So if you want to add, like, you know, rear lighting, there's a 25 amp available aux hookup in that front center bumper area. So you can fill in that, you know, kind of open spot. We left that as a low hanging fruit for upgrades. And then there's another aux hookup up by the twin screw ARV compressor up in the passenger side front fender area.
So 210 grand for this truck
starting at. So where can we get it? What's the high end of that, Chris?
That's not necessarily my cup of tea, the sales side of things. So, you know, like you said, I'm just a boring engineer. But from what I've heard, there's some preferred dealers where if you go through those, you will get it at MSRP. We have a very responsive sales team. So if you inquire about ownership there on that link and submit your information, they will get back with you promptly. Answer all of your questions. If it's something they don't know, they're going to come ask me or one of the other members on the team and get you everything you need to know about the truck to feel confident in your purchase. So I think you'll have the ability to buy it at MSRP. And then, you know, if that opportunity is not there, you know, it could be subject to dealer markup as well.
So there's a big reserve now button in orange at foxfactorytruck.com. And we were hearing that you were going to make 500 units. Could it extend beyond that?
It was a push to get 500 for this first year. We were actually looking at less than that, but there's so much enthusiasm over this thing internally that, you know, we felt, you know, well, let's go after 500. So I think we're going to be tapped out at 500 on, you know, the 2024 option. And we'll have to see what the future holds, you know, after that though.
So we talked about some of the partners, obviously, you know, Fox being the key brand that you would have on this, being a Fox factory build. We talked about Whipple and Dana. Also comes with a boreless stainless steel exhaust, BFG all-terrain KO2s. We talked about the Method with the bead grips, Nacho lights. And then looking at the pictures, the way the carbon fiber peeks out behind the paint and the graphics, especially on the bed, is really cool.
That is one of my favorite things. When people see that, when they're walking by it, they literally stop and freeze in their tracks. So the whole center area of the hood is show carbon reveal.
Nice.
There's a jewel on the up on the hood. There's, you know, an injection molded vent. There's a show carbon, what we call a jewel there. And then, yeah, there's two show carbon accent stripes along with the Fox factory decal, and it was just incredible.
The aerial view of the truck is gorgeous, and you see just how wide it is.
What kind of truck do you have to be in to get a higher view of this thing in the air? Or do you think they took that picture while jumping this truck next to its twin?
I don't know. No,
they
don't
aired
think that
it out.
Happened.
No?
No, I don't think that happened.
Low-flying airplane?
Yeah, no, this is...
One of the other two in the reveal video.
This is sexy. Yeah, now, I do see a sunroof in this. And I'm curious, there has been debate over sunroofs in off-road trucks. Did you have any feelings of going with a truck with a sunroof or not?
I don't think they can get that RST without one.
I don't know.
That's standard.
It is? Okay.
Sometimes on those high trim trucks, you get them the way you get them. And that's,
gotcha.
And that's it.
I personally prefer one. I think it's really nice. So,
Chris, will the truck get an official name, or is it just going to be the Fox Factory truck? Because if there's another one, that will also be the Fox Factory truck, and then you'll have four or five different trucks that are all the Fox Factory trucks. So will this get a nickname?
It does have an internal project nickname. You know, as far as
what is that internal project nickname?
It's not the Lightning, I tell you that.
No, I'm sure it's not.
No, it's the internal project nickname for the truck is called a BLT. but it doesn't stand for the sandwich. but we all joke that way, and that's something that we really wanted to do, and I hope we can do. We really wanted to put some Easter eggs on it, and we kind of ran out of time. So I'm still ruffling some feathers trying to make it happen.
Good man,
got it. I had to ask because I work for banks, and for many many years, Gale Banks had the trademark Sidewinder for a vehicle. And recently we let it lapse. And guess who registered that trademark? Fox Factory. So I thought, they're going to come out with a Sidewinder. They're going to snake it from us. See what I did there?
Yeah,
they didn't.
Yeah.
Although that would have been cool.
Well, you don't know that yet. Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe
that.
They will.
I'm hoping that Chris spills the beans.
Well, here's the thing, though. FoxFactoryTruck.com, they're only talking about the 2024 Silverado. He said there's 504 2024, if you caught him. So what I want to know is, hey, Chris, what you working on now that you, I mean, it's 3 years of your life or whatever you spent on this. I'm guessing that you're not unemployed now.
No, still plenty busy. You know, I thought I'd feel a little relief after this thing debuted yesterday, but it's really just kind of, just kind of accelerated. We've got some really cool things we're working on. Obviously can't say, but I would tell you.
I mean, you could, but
he won't. He's not going to.
I might not be employed. I might not be employed. You'll probably be talking to somebody else next year.
Well, I guess that info's embargoed for now.
It's worth staying tuned for, I'll tell you that.
Well, congratulations on putting this thing together. It looks badass. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get out to the desert with you guys last week to drive it. Carter did give me the invite, but he said there may be some other drives coming up. So hopefully I'll get to catch up with you in person and check it out. But from everything I saw on the stories and friends of mine that were out there, this thing is not only a beast, but a really impressive level of integration for an aftermarket company. Everybody said how much it just feels like a factory build. And that's no small compliment considering how many facets of this vehicle that you guys touched. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you. We really wanted to try to make that happen last week and understand that, with such short notice, but there will definitely be opportunities in the future. They've got a really stacked schedule over the next few months on this project. And we're going to be starting to run these things down the production line real soon. And honestly, I can't wait to just see a whole flock of them just running around. So it's going to be just a sight to see.
Do you anticipate YouTubers? I mean, you have to, right? Someone's going to get all three of the super trucks and put them side by side and huck them, race them, all that. What do you anticipate knowing what you know about this truck?
No, I hope they do. We might have done a little bit of that our own. Each contender in this space, they all have their pros and their cons. They're all really nice trucks. I enjoy driving all of them. There's certain things that you see where they shine in one area and they don't in the other. One thing you're going to notice about this truck is that it's going to take those medium to big hits really well. It'll soak up the little stuff, also, but where you might see yourself tensing up in the other trucks, with this truck, you're not going to need to do that.
It's not like riding in Ryan Arciero's trophy truck where you think it's going to be a marshmallow and he's hitting 36-inch whoops at 150 miles an hour and you can barely keep your arms in your lap and you're going, this is violent.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Was that oddly specific?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're saying this is more comfortable than that.
Yeah, it's I actually got my first ride in the trophy truck last week, and holy cow, can't even put that into words.
Dude, the level.
It's not.
If I'm not taking the words out of your mouth, and I do want to hear your experience, but for me, my whole life has been watching trophy trucks. I've been amazed. I finally get a chance to ride in one. And you're thinking, yeah, this thing is just getting 36 inches of travel. It's soaking up everything. It was amazing. Don't get me wrong. The level of capability is unreal. The amount of violence that comes with that, also unreal.
It was pretty incredible. I've got a turbo R4 seater, with the 3.0 IBP Fox shocks on it. I've mobbed that thing out in the desert, on Johnson Valley. I've built some high power, rock crawler buggies. I love that adrenaline rush of the horsepower and the suspension and just hitting everything. When I got in there with the truck, the first thing I told him, I said, do your thing. Don't hold back. Don't worry about me. You know, and when I joke me with other people, you know, I have people like, you know, Lightning is sick. I'm like, well, yeah, please make me throw open the helmet. You know, I want the whole experience.
I have also done that.
It was not. Yeah,
it's gross. I don't recommend it. It's super disgusting.
Holman, for future conversations.
Yeah.
Don't put that out there.
I mean,
I don't think you should share that.
It's part of my journey.
Then you're going to tell us you got hit with, who was the driver that hit you with all the bushes through the windshield?
It was Josh Hall.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. No, I also puked in his truck, except I tried to save it and didn't get my visor up fast enough, and half of it went into my helmet and in my beard. The other half of it went all over the inside of his data logger and seats and everything. But the cool thing about barfing on yourself in the desert.
No, there's nothing cool about barfing. No.
It dries up super quick. It just becomes like vomit mud and it's fine.
I'm going to go see vomit mud after we get off this phone call.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah, they're playing the Troubadour.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Yeah. And it's super gross and it smells horrible. But I will tell you that was a proud moment of my life when Josh said, great, we got to go to the pits because some stupid media guy barfed in my truck. I'm like, dude, I feel great. We're racing. He goes, seriously? I'm like, yeah. Ended up earning a seat into his Baja 1000 race, and we won our class that year. So
wait a minute.
In your helmet,
hold on,
dude.
Say you barfed, and then he let, not only did we were on the team, but he let you go more?
We did the terrible 250.
Yeah.
And he was going to pull into the pits because he's like, oh, dude. And I'm like, no, we're racing. Like, don't worry about me. I feel fine now. And he's like, serious? Okay. And we won that race, and he probably wouldn't have won if he had to pull over to pits to jettison my ballast butt out of the truck. And so he rewarded me with giving me a seat in his Hummer, his stock full for Baja. In 2005, we won our class.
Wow!
So, like I said, barf in your helmet. Just
no, no.
It can lead to great things. That's all I'm saying.
Chris did not know he was going to be
on your system.
Chris did not know he was going to be talking about barf on this episode.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about catheters and holes drilled in the floor yet.
That's true. Let's not go there.
Also, part of the magic that happens in desert racing.
Oh, there's all kinds of great things in racing for sure.
Just remember, Chris, to tape up the catheter around your calf so nobody does the snap on you when you walk away, because that hurts.
Oh, no, thank you on that one.
Yeah.
Not that you would know, because how would you know?
Oh, no, it never happened to me because I had good friends that warned me ahead of time. Oh, yeah, because when you cut it to a length, because there's certain lengths, because people are tall and short, some people leave the tail hanging out. And I'm just saying, if you're caught in Baja with the tail hanging out of your race suit and somebody just happens to stand on it and you walk away.
Ouch.
Yeah, so let it be a lesson to you, kids. Put that medical tape gauze right around your calf and it stops that shockwave from going any higher. You're welcome. Uncle Sean says you're welcome.
How many people are you talking to right now? How many people are you broadcasting that advice to? Two?
Listen, if this advice helps you, truckshowpodcast@gmail.com. Lightning wants to hear from you.
Uh-huh. So I guess depending on how this debut goes of the Fox Factory truck.
So far, pretty good.
You will decide on whether you're going to make more or maybe change it up with a different vehicle. I guess we don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion going on.
Yeah. In the meantime, guys, go to foxfactorytruck.com and push that orange reserve now button and drop 209,000 ducats.
And then drop a bunch of pictures, lightning@truckshowpodcast.com, in that email, and let him feel all the jealous rage of you sporting your Fox Factory Silverado.
Because I might. Chris, congratulations on this. This is very, very cool.
Well, hopefully I'll get a ride when it circles back to SoCal. And we'll get some seat time in it, and we'll be able to, if Chris is out there, I'll grab some audio, and we'll take a ride together,
Heck
hopefully.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
100%. Let's make it happen.
Love it. Right on, man. Well, we appreciate you carving out the time to spend with us, and super stoked on the truck. Can't wait to get our grubby paws on it. And again, just congratulations. I know you've put years worth of work into this, and it's probably pretty exciting for you to finally be able to talk about and show the world what you've been working on.
Yeah, the entire team is just stoked to finally be able to, you know, tell their families, tell their friends, you know, what they've been holding back. So a lot of really great, talented people that made this happen. So just, you know, extremely proud to be a part of it with them. And yeah, can't wait to show you all what's next.
Congrats, Chris. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye.
Holman, are we happy that we don't pay our phone bill based on the number of calls we get to the 5-star hotline?
After this week.
Dude. So this would have cost a fortune.
You know, I get a notification when people call.
No, I didn't.
It used to ring on my phone, and sometimes it would answer. I'd be like, "Hello?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to answer." And then I realized why.
So I still get a notification. It just doesn't ring me to where I'm like blindly answering and talking to randos who listen to our show. I mean, our listeners who listen to our show.
They're not randos.
And,
how dare you?
No, this past couple weeks, man, you guys have been pretty prolific. Something has made them want to contact us over and over and over.
It could
and
be their
over
hatred and disdain
over
for me. It's possible.
Over and over.
657-205-6105 is the 5-star hotline.
Show called the 5-Star Hotline. 657-205-6105. It's the 5-Star Hotline.
5-Star
Hotline.
Lightning and Whole Dog, just wanted to, you know, give you a quick clap for all the good work that you guys have been doing. This last Have You Heard segment, you're talking about the 392 going away and TRX V8 going away and all the V8s going away. So how does it feel to know that you guys lasted longer than a V8 and a Jeep? How does that feel? I mean, I remember you guys telling us the news that they were getting the V8. And now it's gone. So congratulations on outlasting America's V8 in a Jeep.
Wow, that's an interesting question. I never thought I would hear it posed that way. It actually has me thinking of all the other things that we've outlasted in our 6 years of doing this show.
Like what?
We've outlasted death.
Outlasted death?
Failure.
Are you saying that we've beaten presidencies?
We have outlasted presidencies. Uh-huh. We've outlasted Cummins V8s.
Oh, yes, we did.
We've outlasted the warranty on one of our favorite trucks.
We've outlasted, you said Cummins. We've also outlasted their ability to dodge the EPA.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's something as well. Yeah. I don't know. How do we feel? I feel like I was fortunate enough to be able to pick one of those things up, because otherwise I would be sitting here going, damn it, I missed my chance. And I look at all the things over time where I've been like, oh, man, I wish I would have gotten one of those. Oh,
damn, I wish I would have invested in NVIDIA. Or,
whatever. You know, yeah. Whatever. And I feel like this time, suckers, didn't pass me up.
Yeah. I feel that same way. And I'm glad that I listened to you, because I don't know that I would have given it that much thought. So I think I have Holman to thank for that purchase decision. Much of it, anyway.
Hey, Lightning Holman, it's Mike Boyle. Sure you probably got more than one call on it. The last episode, the guy driving through Montana talking about the unibody Ford truck. I hate to break it to him, but it is a body on frame as well. It was also, the unibody version was never available in four-wheel drive, but the exact same chassis was available in four-wheel drive. So it is a truck just like the El Camino is a truck. Lower the suckage and 5 stars.
Mike Boyle coming through.
Lower the suckage!
5-star review! 5 stars!
Ooh, that reminds me. I was talking to Emmy, and she was like, when am I going to be in your stupid show again? Or something to that effect. And I'm like, I don't know. Let's make it happen. So we need to have it. We haven't talked to Emmy in a while.
She just did something crazy.
She's always
like
doing
recently.
Something crazy.
Yeah. Well, we didn't talk to her. Did we talk to her after King of the Hammers?
I don't remember. Oh, man, it looks like Mike left us a follow-up voicemail.
Hey, it's Mike Boyle again. Just some more stupid, useless facts about what's a car and what's a truck. We already determined that the El Camino is a truck because it's got a body on frame. Early Ford unibodies were a truck because they're body on frame. Then we get to the Ranchero. The first generation, 57 to 59, was body on frame.
Truck.
Then from 60 till 71... it was a unibody.
Not necessarily
from
not a
72
truck.
To 79, it was a body on frame again.
Truck.
So what does that make that thing? Just curious. Anyway, 5 stars. Yeah, buddy.
Congratulations. You have earned 5 stars.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So just for people at home keeping score. So we've determined that a truck needs to be 3 of these 5 things. It needs to be body on frame. It needs to have an open cargo compartment for carrying loads. It needs to have a bed that is separate from the cab. It needs to have a longitudinally mounted engine. And it needs to have the ability for that chassis to have four-wheel drive. So
when did we decide that it was three was enough?
when we first did this game.
Oh, really? it was arbitrary?
It seemed like years ago. Well, it was the majority.
It was 6 years ago.
Because we used the Honda Ridgeline as the litmus test for that.
Oh, you're right.
And we decided that Honda Ridgeline could in no way be a truck.
Right.
So that definitely skewed how we set the rules up. Because we don't like minivans with beds, although it does drive nice.
I like how we just said we don't like the Ridgeline, so anything that describes the Ridgeline is out.
Well, but then this thing is out of date now, right? Because, like, let's say a Rivian or a Cybertruck.
Mm.
Body on frame, I believe, yes, because they're on a skateboard. Open bed to the cab or to the air, yes. Bed separate from the cab on either of them, no. Longitudinally mounted, no.
No.
But four-wheel drive, yes. So yes. That would make
three.
Rivians and Cybertrucks trucks.
Yeah.
So anyway, that makes our bogus list
less
relevant.
Bogus.
I don't know. Does it need to be changed for modern times? Do we need to say EVs are excluded from the longitudinal test? I don't know. Listen, this is an imperfect science, people. Why are you yelling at me?
It is the 5-star hotline, 657-205-6105.
5-star.
Hotline.
Hello, this is Justin Cox from Chico. I was listening to your latest Have You Heard with the Know Your Notes. And when the 7.3 came on, I was like, man, that really sounds like a 7.3. And you guys were thinking it was a Cummins, and I was like, man, that really sounds like a 7.3. My dad had a 99 F-350 7.3 that was straight piped, and my grandpa has a 2001 bone stock. And I was like, man, that sounds like a 7.3. So that was cool. It was 7.3. Keep it up, and Ian Johnson for president. Talk to you later.
Okay.
I don't think he can be president as a Canadian. So maybe Ian Johnson
Canadian.
As premier.
Interesting, huh?
Is that what they are over there?
Premier?
No.
What's the guy that everyone hates up there?
Trudeau,
yeah.
No. But what's the, what, he's not, a, they're not presidents up there, are they?
No, they're not presidents. What is he? Look that up.
No. Prime Minister.
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. So yes. Ian Johnson for Prime Minister of Canada.
657-205-6105.
Lightning. For the sticker, just put V6 powered. Add proud to it. Maybe that'll make them think about it.
Okay. V6 powered.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
They would look at it and go, a TRX with the V6? We don't want that.
Yeah, we don't want that. Oh, it's a RHO.
Lightning and Holman, Colby here. On Lightning's whole sticker question, I think they're all kind of like so-so. Nothing was like really jumping out at me. I have two other ideas for you. Maybe put a sticker on the back window that says something like, this truck identifies as an AMT Pacer, or this truck identifies as a Prius, right? Like, I think that one would work. Or
you could... How are those going to work? Like, it doesn't identify... It's a... What? It's a TRX.
No, but it identifies as a Prius.
They don't...
Which, by the way, is badass. So
which,
close.
Which Prius?
So close.
The
new one.
I know, but what if you're saying it identifies as like a 2005 Prius?
Which Icky. Is,
exactly.
Just do like unsuccessful break-in attempts, and then just do like a bunch of flash marks, because this isn't going to be the last time. So I don't know. Every time you had to buy a new sticker, but you can add an extra, you know, tally mark added up there. But anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and 5 stars.
Tally marks on how many break-ins
you should
get.
Do.
That sucks.
You should have
5-star review. 5 stars.
What should I have?
You should have somebody make up a sticker that looks like a shattered window. That way, it looks like it's broken already, but unsuccessfully.
Well, then they would just walk up and they'd just try to push it in, like it would, and then it would realize it's not broken, and then it'd break it.
Jeez.
Lightning and Holman. This is Tristan from Ohio. I listen to you guys' show all the time. Currently in my Freightliner big rig.
Man, that thing's quiet.
For a Freightliner.
I would have thought that thing had all sorts of noise. That thing's damn near silent.
What if he's at a rest stop?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. But he does say he's driving Pennsylvania.
Okay.
All right.
Were
just
you driving?
Quieter than I thought it would be. Anyway.
I listened to the latest Know Your Note episode, and I must say, I'm very ashamed. Even though I didn't know most of them, there was one I was ashamed of you guys on. That was the 7.3. Holman's over there saying, oh, it sounds so much like a straight six. Sounds like a Cummins. Well, I own one. It sounds nothing like that. Maybe that's why I recognized it. But I must say I heard it and I saw 7.3 power stroke immediately. And I'm sitting over there just hitting the steering wheel. You guys just didn't know. I'm ashamed.
Well, you wouldn't be the first
one. See you later.
You don't have the market corner of being ashamed of us.
I did think that you would get that one right away.
Okay, can I just point out a couple things?
Well, first off, he asked for 5 stars.
Congratulations. You have earned 5 stars.
Despite
the fact that, yeah, totally.
Guys, when we're guessing, we have to tell you, we don't read ahead. So we get stuff wrong. We suck at this. The fact that we get things as right as we do is a freaking miracle of nature. Like, that's not normal. And I also have to say, I love that you guys are playing along and actually, like, emotionally damaged because we guessed wrong and that you're mad enough to leave voicemails. I love that. Keep doing that.
He's sitting there in his Freightliner going, banging on his dashboard.
We can all have off days. Lighting's deaf most of the time. He has a horrible case of tinnitus, so everything sounds like there's a turbo whistling in there somewhere.
What's that?
And
Are we still live? Is this on? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello?
So I got the 7-3 wrong. I'm sorry. All right? But hey, you guys loved it anyway.
Hey, boys. It's Kevin from Texas. I got a tire question for you. In need of some help. I got a 21 Z71 Suburban. We use it to haul around the family. Mostly, you know, pull a can axle trailer, get the boat in and out, you know, the boat ramp, that type of thing. My wife wanted a more aggressive tire, so I've been looking at the BF Goodrich All-Terrain TO KO2s and the Open Country AT3s. I'm just asking, out of those two, or maybe you have a different solution or a different suggestion, I'm always excited to hear you guys' opinions. All right, 5 stars. Thanks for the help. Bye.
Man, Emmy is getting overtime. Thank God we don't pay her for every time we play that drop. Yeah, so 21 Z71 Suburban. So it's trailer hauler, family hauler, gets you boat ramps. It needs a good traction, something
occasional,
more aggressive.
Occasional off-road.
Probably.
He says my wife wanted a more aggressive tire.
So I'm sure dirt road or muddy road when it rains, whatever.
I have experience with the AT3s. On our Ford at work, and both Fords at work have the AT3s, and they're quiet and they're grippy. I've driven with them in the sand and the snow, and they're wonderful tires. I'm really happy with them. I don't have any experience with the KO2s and the coming soon KO3s. Holman?
So I have lots of experience with the KO2s, hundreds of thousands of miles on those things. Still one of my favorite tires. Quiet, great. The KO3s coming out. Soon, we'll have some more information on that, but the initial direct replacement sizes will be launching in a month or so. So you might want to hang out for a KO3. There might be something in your size. Open Country AT3s, awesome. If you want something a little bit more aggressive than that, consider the Open Country RT Trails. Or the other one that I've been really a fan of lately are the Falcon Wild Peak RTs, and they have their new AT4Ws, I believe, that just launched, and that's also a great tire.
And so, they've got the RT, Falcon Wild Peak. Those are the RTs we just put on Brian Shaw, World's Strongest Man's Excursion.
Great looking tread pattern.
Damn,
and
good looking.
Yeah. And those are kind of my favorites of, like, when people want an all-terrain, I kind of like... You know, the BFG is kind of like the old stalwart that you can never go wrong with. The Toyos are really high quality tire, quiet, handle well, ride nice, and durable, last long, super round. And Falcon is sort of that like overbuilt tire that isn't going to let you down. Really great off road. You know, really not susceptible to a lot of punctures or sidewall.
You got
to
choose one or two. Like Lightning's going to go because I have the Open Country RT Trails on the TRX. And I'm happy as a clam with those.
Holman, like, what makes a clam happy?
Because the clam looks like he's smiling when you add an angle, right? Because the curvature, I think. That's
weird.
Just a guess.
Okay.
So I'm going to go neither of them. I'm going to say the Open Country RT Trails because it's a great hybrid.
I'm going to say whichever one is available at your local tire store for the best price. Those are the ones you can't go wrong with any of them. If you want something a little bit more aggressive, go RTs in either the Falcon or the Open Country. If you want something that is just a really good all-terrain, BFGs, the Open Country ATs, or the Falcon Wild Peak ATs. All great tires. I've put lots of miles on all of them. Like them all.
I think we've confused him. Like, we didn't give him a definitive answer. We said whatever you can get a deal
on. I think he's smart enough to figure out that they're all comparable. And he's going to walk in the tire store and go, that one looks great, and it's cheaper than that one. I'm going there.
Okay.
There's your definitive answer, Lightning.
Wait, that's it? That is it for now, but we do have room on the voice recorder if you'd like to dial in and leave a message, 657-205-6105.
The Truck Show, The Truck Show, The Truck Show, oh, oh.
Or you can always hit us up on email, truckshowpodcast@gmail.com, or Holman at truckshowpodcast.com, or Lightning at truckshowpodcast.com, and of course you can follow us on the socials, at Truck Show Podcast, at Sean P. Holman, at LBC Lightning. And don't forget to leave us your reviews. Head over to Facebook or Spotify or Apple and leave us 5 stars. We really appreciate it. And then also head over to truckshowpodcast.com where you can check out our events calendar and see what truck happenings are happening in your neck of the world.
Truck happenings?
Truck happenings. I didn't say woods on purpose. Neck of the world. I made that up because not everybody has woods. So I'm like, yeah. Neck of the world. No?
No.
Okay.
No, leaves.
Happy as a clam, huh?
Leaves.
Same thing. All right, got it.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I do. It's a good callback.
You guys can also leave us some Know Your Notes. I know there's a few new ones that have creeped into the mailbox, and super appreciative of those. Keep that Know Your Note hate coming, and also keep that Know Your Note.
Wait, the Know Your Note hate?
Yeah.
Because we don't get it right.
Yeah, yeah, if you guys can stump us. And listen, if you guys have something like a stock truck, bring it on. Like, that's fine. I'm good with it. If you guys have a clapped out Camry, done. Let's do it. Like, whatever.
I mean,
I don't care.
Nah, I'd rather not
make
get
it fun.
Into cars.
If you have a Ford 9N tractor that you need us to guess,
identify?
I do it.
Yeah, no.
Do it.
No.
Got a diesel Kubota? Dude, we want to hear from you.
Mean, that was fun. When
a John Deere combine?
He was throwing out some funny ones at us.
Some 16-liter Cummins? You work on a cargo ship, and you want to say, you're on a submarine. We don't care. Make record the mechanically noises that those suckers are making and
you're
send them on over.
Any internal combustion
just
engine.
Whatever. Stump the experts. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Isn't it funnier
you
if we don't get them wrong?
You just called us an expert?
Yeah.
We are
we're
from experts.
We're like 70% right. Maybe 65.
We are 70% right 35% of the time.
We are 75% lucky.
I'd rather be lucky than smart. Wait. Hold on. Let me rethink that.
All right, while Lightning puts some thought into things that he's saying but doesn't comprehend, we have to thank Nissan, our presenting sponsor. Head on over to NissanUSA.com where you can build and price a brand new Nissan Frontier. And you can check out what's in my driveway, and that is the Nissan Frontier Hardbody.
And you've heard about the map sensor spacer relocation kit for the Duramax L5P. That's 2017 to 2024. And you want to keep that map sensor clean? Head over to BankSpower.com, type in your year, make, and model, and find one for your rig.
And for all of you who are looking for a quality, full synthetic lubrication for your truck, AMSOIL has you covered with motor oil, lubricants and protectants, grease, additives, and more. A pioneer in synthetic lubricants for more than 50 years, AMSOIL synthetic lubricants deliver wear protection, engine cleanliness, and fuel efficiency that conventional oils simply can't match. Find out more at AMSOIL.com.
AMSOIL!
Yeah, what he said.
The Truck Show Podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors. Some vehicles may have been harmed during the making of this podcast.